It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate. You know it, every week and multiple times with multiple episodes. And you'll hear us on Spotify, also Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon, right around the UAE. And a Tuesday morning has popped up and said hello. It's the fifth day of March. And good morning to you, Candice, in Sacramento, California. Got your email. And you say that you are looking to co-buy a property later this year with your sister in either Dubai or Abu Dhabi. And you've got a budget of 1.8 million dirhams. And you've asked, is there anything that Mario would know of to be careful in this area of co-buying in the UAE? And you say that you are looking to buy an apartment and it can be either fringy of Dubai or Abu Dhabi. Well, let's find out, Candice, because Mario is here fresh from chasing the Formula Ones in Bahrain. And good morning to you, Mario. How was that weekend of the F1?
Good morning, Craig. Good morning to all the listeners. How was the weekend? It was frenetic, to say the least. As far as the race is concerned, well, Ferrari came third and fourth, so not quite where we wanted them to, but considering the problems that Charles Leclerc had, I think he did very well. So it was an amazing weekend spent with real estate individuals, splash and dash, as we say, straight out of Dubai into Bahrain, partied all weekend. It was really, really good.
For those listeners too, particularly the likes of the US, they will have no idea of how far Bahrain is from Dubai. And it's not that far. It's just over an hour, isn't it?
That's right. The flight itself was around 50 minutes. By the time it took off, literally, you're landing. They even had time to sort of bring out some snacks, which I thought they did very, very well. But no, it's very close. It's just the other side of Qatar, which again is only a 45-minute journey from Dubai.
And how many people do you know of that jump on flights and go to Bahrain to watch the F1? Because I know a few, so I think you're about the fourth or fifth person that I know from Dubai.
Well, apart from obviously our group that went, I didn't know anybody. But it was the 20th anniversary. It started in 2004 and the whole weekend was sold out. So it's not as big as the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. And obviously, having been to that, I can see the differences. It's not quite the razzmatazz that the UAE can actually put on, to be fair. But it was good. It was good to actually go to the very first race of the season and to see how it's done in a different country, really.
And listen to us. We're talking about F1. It's on, of course, Netflix. We mentioned it the other day. There's just so much interest in F1 racing. People that were never interested in motorsport before, suddenly they find themselves, because of the personalities, the machinations between the different drivers, they're interested because it's like a TV reality show.
Well, it's not just the drivers, Craig. As you know, obviously team principals get into all sorts of shenanigans as well, and makes for good TV, but it makes for good reading material and gossip and all sorts of things. So it's off the track as well as on the track.
All right. Well, let's get to Candice there in Sacramento in California. As I mentioned, she's looking at buying with her sister here, Mario. So is there anything that she should worry about?
Honestly, for Candice, there's nothing to worry about at all. You know, you can buy with a sibling. You can buy, obviously, with a partner. You don't actually have to be married to even live in the UAE, unlike it used to be. The rules have changed. Before, you had to be a married couple to actually live together. Now, that's not the case. So buying a property with a sibling, presumably on a 50-50 split, is absolutely normal. The only thing I can think of, as in any relationship, whether it's a sibling or indeed a marriage, is that, you know, what happens when you want to dispose of the asset? Everything is fine when everybody is in love with each other, but, you know, should anything go wrong, then it would be a case of what would happen should you want to sell. So, you know, one party could buy the other party out, or indeed they can sell and just split the differences. So absolutely no issues at all buying together.
Yeah, and you would think that a couple of sisters, in terms of, knowing each other, it's probably out of any co-buying and sharing a property, probably a little bit more safer than husband and wife.
Well, hopefully a bit more longevity, I would have thought. But, you know, siblings do also fall out. Family, you think everything is all cool, but sometimes it can become quite acrimonious. So, yeah, it should be for the long term. Depends, obviously, if they want to rent it they want to buy it as a buy to let, or indeed live in it. The rules apply the same. It's absolutely fine.
And I think we mentioned at some stage, I'm going back in my memory bank, there is a matchmaking company, I can't think of them now, and that's their job. They look at matchmaking people to buy property, and I'm pretty sure that's in Dubai somewhere.
Did we talk about that? Honestly, I don't remember that at all. Was that something that...
I don't think you were in on the conversation, but yeah, so we'll have to find out a little bit more about that, because I know that we didn't get the person who is running that organization on, but we'll see if we can get them on in the next few weeks. Right, let's have a look at a report from last week that Dubai has been removed. Yes, removed from the grey list of financial task force. Now, can you explain to the listeners first off, Mario, what this is and what it's going to mean specifically for the Dubai real estate market?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in fact, there are two lists. There's a grey one and a black one. And these lists identify which countries are actively working with the financial task force, which in itself is a global intergovernmental body that looks to address strategic deficiencies in the jurisdiction of the countries. So in order to counter money laundering, terrorist financing, and proliferation financing. Now, for the UAE to be removed from this watch list means that it has committed to best-in-class anti-money laundering measures and had addressed previous concerns about financial transparency. I was a bit disappointed when we were actually put on this grey list, because there's a question mark over the whole country. You know, is it safe to actually invest there? Will I get my money back? All sorts of things. But this now will obviously bolster the UAE's reputation within the international marketplace, and obviously will lead to greater economic activity. So all I can think of here is more good news for the UAE to come.
Yes, and when you look internationally, there is a huge amount of conservatism that takes place when people look to part with their money from one country to another. And whilst it's been taken off the grey list, and some people might say, well, people would still be investing anyway, that's not necessarily the case, because when it comes to reasonable amounts of money, people can be very, very conservative. So this is definitely going to be a windfall.
No, for sure it is. And you're right in what you're saying. The ones that sail close to the wind will still keep doing business with those particular countries. But there is a vast majority of people, as you say, who are very conservative, who really, unless it's squeaky clean, will not do it. So as I say, to come off, and it really is only a watch list. It's not to say that we were doing anything bad. It's just that this body was watching us, making sure that what we were saying the UAE was going to do, that it actually ended up doing it. And clearly that's the case. So I'm anticipating a lot more investing, not just in individuals coming to the UAE, but, you know, from a government level, from company levels. I mean, we have lots of people coming up and opening up companies here. So multinationals, that kind of thing. So it's great news, to be honest with you.
All right, so let's continue to look at some of this data from 2023. There was a report from Deloitte, and it told us that residential sales rose by 18%. Rents, yes, they went up 26% for the year. The main drivers to this were the villa transactions in both sales and rentals, and these transactions showed a higher growth, in fact, of both of these sectors compared to the apartments. So, Mario, which were the top locations where buyers decided to invest in?
Well, in terms of transactions, The top three areas were Business Bay, Downtown, and JVC. But obviously, if we were to analyze growth only, the apartments in Palm Jumeirah recorded the strongest year-on-year increases. But of course, other up-and-coming areas such as Dubai South and Mohammed bin Rashid City also saw noteworthy gains as well. And that is also where there are lots of villas, because it is the villa communities that is really driving growth. And they're building more apartments in the UAE than they're building villas. So I think the majority of the growth will always come from villa and townhouses.
Yes, and let's turn our attention to the UAE economy, as we learn that a major global power survey has named the UAE the most stable economy and also ranked the UAE the 10th best soft power in the world. Perhaps, Mario, you should tell us what a global soft power is.
Yeah, so in politics, and in particular international politics, soft power is the ability to co-opt rather than coerce, which is in contrast to obviously hard power. And it involves shaping preferences of others through appeal and attraction. And it uses culture, political values, and foreign policies to attempt to enact this change.
We are more than just a real estate podcast. We cover a multitude of subjects, including property data, current buyer-seller sentiment, and the mood of the market. Follow each week all of the main talking points and know your property. What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
I don't know who kind of came up with this idea to, you know, to model a villa after Dune. Truly a spectacular site, Craig, and stays true to the franchise with its kind of futuristic, sleek, dystopian style inside and out.
I remember several years ago, $1 million used to buy you something like 1,200, 1,300 square feet of residential property here in Dubai. So this report actually highlights the fact that as prices continue to surge ahead, what it buys you is less and less.
Yeah, so 66% is quite a massive rise when we look back to the context. But however, Michael, you touched on that the villa demand is responsible for that and what the tenants are seeking for. But what I will say is that this report also identifies key trends and investment opportunities across the city.
Don't forget to subscribe. We have so many episodes, all designed to help you better understand the constantly evolving and dynamically changing real estate property market. We talk to some of the most influential figures in the real estate industry, from leading commentators to investors to real estate principals on the Dubai Property Podcast.